All right, welcome to all you guys to this class. It is 4 through 6 math on your on the schedule there, I think. I have middle grades math, which is about the same thing. My name is Josiah Zimmerman. I've been teaching for 4 years. I teach at Cornerstone Christian School in Memphis. So some of yous probably have a bit more experience than I do, so I definitely don't feel like I should be the one here teaching it, but I'm going to go through it, think about questions you have. Hopefully you have some questions already, because we will have a Q&A at the end. Q&A being you guys asking the questions and you guys answering the questions. I have a few expectations for this class. First of all, I want the class to be a place where we can all learn something to improve our ability to teach our students. Second, if you got a question, let it be known. Either speak out or raise your hand or something. I want it to be kind of a, not just a lecture. I'm not much of a lecturer. Third, if you have an answer or a different answer than I do, feel free to let it be known too. So, once again, I don't have all the answers. As I was going through this, again, just recently, I kind of prepared a lot of this stuff a while back. I kind of realized that this is not necessarily geared just toward language class. It's kind of just could apply to a bunch of different things. Hopefully questions and things like that will be mostly geared more toward language later. But some things before, have it broken up to before teaching the class, kind of as you're teaching the class, some things like that. So some things to think about before you get to class time, language class. Know what you're teaching. It's a good thing. I have entered language classes and been like, all right, what are we learning about today, kids? It's not the greatest way to enter your language class. Thankfully, 4 through 6, most of it should be fairly easy stuff. It's not like you have to learn it, but it's good to know what you're teaching beforehand. Have a clear goal. This often is just, you know, that you want them to know your information, whatever it is you're teaching for the day. But it's good to, rather than just hopefully they get their lesson done, have something you want them all to have accomplished by the end. Don't plan on just speaking. Use visuals, hands-on, like a whiteboard, flashcards, role-playing, etc. And things like this. I have different times gotten to class, and you know what, I should probably put this on the board. I should have had that done beforehand. Things like that, it's a lot easier to have. If you have some things prepared beforehand. It's better than just giving a lecture. Doesn't always work that great with this age group. Getting visuals for sure. And I'm very poor with hands-on stuff, so hopefully you will have some ideas later on about that. All right, moving on to teaching a class. It's a bit dark there, but there's a diagram there on the board, sort of. It says getters there. Attention, use attention getters. Of course, we need a subject. Understood, you. Use attention getters, things that grab people's attention. And while we're on this topic, take a little bunny trail. And any ideas? How do you explain diagrams or students understand them? So I'm coming into this as the teacher wondering what you guys think about this. I enjoy doing diagrams. I do not enjoy teaching them. Do any of you have any great ideas right off? Things, ways you enjoy teaching diagrams, or things that really help you with teaching diagrams. If not, we'll maybe hit this later on at the end. Something to think about. All right, use attention getters. I'm not sure if getters is even a word, but it's cool anyway. To involve your students. Once again, don't just lecture. Get them involved as much as possible. Have them answer the questions. Have them sometimes read questions. Get them talking. Helps to get them thinking. And that goes along with this one. Use concept check questions rather than just saying, "You guys got it?" I know I tend to do that sometimes. "Y'all understand?" Well, of course they're going to say, "Yeah, I understand," even though they probably might not. Or I'll still have the ones that say, "I don't understand it," you know, and then if you start questioning them out, they pretty much know what they're talking about or what you're learning about. So if you have them talking, you can throw these in. Questions that check to see if they are... I was going to think of a good scenario for this one. I forgot or lost it or something. Questions that you ask that to see if they actually have the concept. Correct their mistakes. If they're making mistakes as you go through it, sometimes it can be easy just to say, "Well, we'll get that when we check the lesson later on." Especially if it's the new part, I think it's good to correct their mistakes. Make sure that they're getting it. There's no sense in them learning it wrong to start with and then having to figure it out later. That one seems a bit obvious. Pace and flow. And for this, it's a situation often like I like to do you know, a lesson a day or whatever. We're doing this much today, and hopefully they're getting it. If they're not getting it, then you might need to slow down. Maybe need to take 2 days on a lesson. Who knows? If they are getting it, there's no sense in sitting around chatting for a long time explaining things that they already have. So slow down if necessary. Speed up. And then drill. This age students needs a bit of drill. I actually teach a little bit older students most of the time. 6th through 8th is what I have. And it's nice when a 7th or 8th grader does know things they're supposed to have learned back in 4th grade. I'm not trying to put blame on the 4th grade teachers, but they need a bit of drill. And it varies from student to student, too. But they all need drill. Yeah, they all need a bunch of drill. And then review. I teach CLE curriculum, and they have, of course, a bunch of review in their lessons mixed in. But I think it's still really good to do oral review or some review in class. Make sure they're getting it, because I know it can be easy if you're teaching or if you're doing it the way they have it set up, where they check 4 through 6 might not check their own books that much. It's nice to know they have it before you get to a quiz. And then I have some things to think about, things to remember as you're going through this. It's hard to teach without attention. If you don't have their attention, it's really tough to teach the class. If the class clown has their attention, you might as well just let him take over for a while, or else take the attention back from him. There's no sense in both trying to keep attention. He's probably going to outdo you. Don't be the distraction. As I was doing some studying, this is a thought that I came across. I thought it was kind of interesting. As a teacher, sometimes we can actually be the distraction rather than focusing on what they're trying to learn. Focus might, I don't know, there's different ways that could be. They paying more attention to your amazing teaching style or terrible teaching style or whatever. We learn better in a comfortable atmosphere, so keep it light. You don't want it to be so comfortable and light that they're falling asleep or who knows what, all chatting, but we can learn better if it's not too stifled, they're not scared of you. And I think having them answering questions, having some give and take in class can be a big benefit for that, help keeping it light. This one kind of goes along with what I was saying. The first one, the students want you to be in charge. They don't want some other student to be in charge. Maybe one student wants to be in charge, but for the most part, they all want you to be in charge. And there's been times where I've had students pretty much tell me, like, just, you're the teacher. Okay, yeah, sorry, I'll try to take charge now. Knowing how to drive is more important than reading the owner's manual. If you think about a vehicle, you're trying to teach them. When we're teaching language, we want them to know how to speak and to know language in the world. And so that's really the important part. Some of that comes, a lot of that comes in language class. Some of that comes outside of the class too. All right, and in conclusion, kind of, I know it's very quick here, but I knew this class was going to be quick, so hopefully you have a bit of discussion ready. Be prepared for class when possible, of course. There are times, depending on how many classes you have, how many students you have, all that stuff, where sometimes you just aren't prepared. Get and keep their attention. Once you lose their attention, it's very difficult to get it back. And then teach for understanding. You don't want them just to be able to, I mean, you want them to be able to know why they're doing what they're doing, not just have things memorized, although memorization is extremely important. All right, that is all I have. So, questions or comments or things that have worked well for you? And if you're a first-time teacher, then I guess maybe you'll have more answers than the rest of us. Comments from you guys. What do you tell your students when they say, why do we have to do this diagram, or why do we have to do diagrams?
Here's some I follow. I struggled with that exact same question those students asked that to me, and I didn't always know how to answer it, but one thing I did figure out is that the students that ask those questions and don't know how to do diagrams are not the students that have a good understanding of sentence structure. The students that know how to diagram any sentence you throw at them, they get the sentences and they understand the meaning. It is, I mean, diagramming in and of itself isn't really maybe useful as a life skill, but diagramming helps them understand a sentence. And they sometimes think they understand a sentence, and, well, they don't always understand it as well as they think. So it helps you understand really well what's in a sentence, because sometimes they don't understand as well as they think they do at first glance. Mm-hmm. If you get a prepositional phrase modifying the wrong thing, yeah, you're going to get the meaning wrong. So I guess basically just, it's there to show that you are understanding a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
It's also a very good visual, especially for visual learners. It's a picture you can see about a sentence. Those together.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I can identify, because when I was in school, I absolutely abhorred diagramming, but now I teach, I actually like it. But one thing kind of he was saying that I've told him is, be like, yeah, okay, you're not going to be doing this necessarily later in life, like literally sitting down diagramming sentence generally, unless you're teaching. But I ask him, do you like reading a good story, a good book, like that is well written and, you know, keeps your attention. And that's because they knew how to structure the sentences, and they knew how to write correctly. Probably none of us would enjoy reading a book that is written in the old way. But I don't know if that's the answer that's one thing after.
You asked a question earlier, how do you talk about get them to understand diagrams? Is that correct?
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Fully have it figured out, but last year I was struggling with my sixth grader, I guess it was, to follow the difference between an IO and a DO. And they both come back for the verb, they both win it. One especially, he's just a little flighty and how I mean, first he referenced it, and then put in and call it good. And I finally took two of their names in the class, and I said, so in the sentence, Jason threw Samuel the ball. Jason was the one who was struggling to get it. I said, what did you throw? I said, did you throw Samuel? And of course, that's the whole point. I said, like, what? The direct object always gets the action. And like that seemed to clarify in his mind, is getting a sentence. They had done it at break, they had been playing softball. And getting something that he could very well relate to, and then thinking in his mind, what did I throw? Like, for me, that was a huge step for him, was getting him a visual in his mind of something that he actually had done to understand the difference.
Yeah, that's good. Connecting with something other than just some random sentence. I know one thing that I had with the diagrams, kind of where my question was coming from, was things like IO and DO, where they could do the problem where they could pick out the IO and DO in the sentence, and then they go to diagram and have it all mixed up. And yet they could tell me right where the IO and the DO are supposed to go. I'm like, how is that supposed to all, how do you tie that together? Some students seem to just get it, and others didn't, and I wasn't sure as the teacher on how I should be explaining it.
This doesn't really answer the question, but I had a student who struggles to diagram, and I didn't know what to do. I was kind of my wit's end, and so I let her use colored pens to diagram and say, okay, in each sentence, you're going to pick out the verb and it's going to be red, and then, or whatever, and just go through and say, subject would be green, or it didn't really matter the colors, more that all the subjects were going to be green, all the words were going to be red, direction objects, purple, and it was a mean all that did for me. Anyway, so I'll probably continue using it this year and just see how it goes.
Yeah, that's cool. Because I had a student last year that they just tended to diagram just the way the sentence read. You know, the first important word goes in the subject line, and so as soon as you have a sentence that's where they have the verb first, then the verb and subject are switched around, and everything's switched around at that point.
One thing to mention is that question about, you said correct their mistakes. What are some ways that you do that?
Yeah, I think for myself, I was thinking on that. I know it can vary from student to student too. I've had students where it's come to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna stop correcting them, and they can hopefully recover, and then do that on a one-on-one basis. The way I like to do it is, which this obviously depends on the size of your class and stuff, do some in class all together, and then have them do some on their own. And in the class ones, correct them right there in class. And the ones by themselves, you can help them one-on-one. yeah, that's a can be difficult to navigate because some people will just shut down and don't handle that real great. But some of the rest, I know I had a student that correct her about twice in class, and she'd just start rapid fire some random answers. Like, it could be simple things like, what's the subject? And if she gets it wrong once or twice, she quits thinking and starts saying any word in the sentence. It's like, now she's not even thinking, I might as well just quit asking her, move on to the next question or person or something. Yeah, maybe you just haven't had that at all, but how do you keep that from happening? Is that kind of what your question is?
Yeah, we're just different ways, I guess, to, because there's definitely a lot of times that you do need to.
I don't know if we're exactly done on that question, but maybe here's another question if you want one. When students, it feels like one day they have concept mastered, and then, like, they've got it. And then tomorrow you come back to school, and they don't. How it feels like it can flip-flop so quickly, like, how can you get something so quickly? I don't know. My thoughts.
I've definitely seen that.
Is it just not enough drill in that day?
I know I've had to go back and, like, pretty much reteach the lesson before, and that's not much of a joy, but it's not really a solution to how to keep it from happening. I'm not sure if there is a way to keep that from happening, or if it's just something that you're going to have sometimes. I think having them do things like that, working it out loud, can help them quite a bit too. Kind of along with that question, I had a bit of trouble this last year with students being able to remember the difference between the part of speech and the function. Like, you're supposed to write down the parts of speech, and they're starting to put down subjects and direct objects. It's like, no, it's supposed to just be noun for this, or that type of thing. These are great ways to teach that, or to help that differentiate between those, since sometimes the part of speech is the function, sometimes it's not.
I think I know what you're saying. I actually struggle with that too. And with all of the questions that were just asked about how you make things stick, I don't know that I have necessarily any really good answers, but some of these things are just simply a lot of hard work. I mean, it's just line upon line, with precept upon precept, and that's the only way I can tell you to get it to stick. And sometimes that's just what it takes. And there are things you can do sometimes to maybe help. I'm not saying there's nothing you can do, but sometimes that's what seems like it all boils down to, is just doing it again and again. And when they forget, and come back the next day and bring it up again and do it again. I've had a student recently that just really struggled with English in general, grammar. And I was amazed how much he picked up the last year. I had more time to spend time beside his desk, and just one-on-one, just over and over again. I went over some of his concepts so often that, I was amazed at looking back at the progress that it made. And sometimes it's just, simple that.
Thank you all for your participation. Feels like we had more questions than answers, but that's how teaching often is, I think. Situations can vary from one situation to the next. But hope you all have a great year. And depart in peace, I guess. You're dismissed. I love teaching. Love teaching kids. Like, students is one thing. Like, if they're all sit here silently, it's like, I don't know. Somehow it's different than if it's a bunch of adults sitting there silently staring at me.
Yeah. No, I believe that. I taught a affirmation camp with Jenny this past year, and I took the elementary ed class, which is basically for teaching music to kids, and taught how to teach a song to that class.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I forgot how different it feels to teach a song.
Get four extra and might miss two, but
just
get as close as I can. And then I'm teaching it, and like, it's not hard.
Yeah.
Somehow it, like, it totally makes sense. I just ask, you just ask the questions you're supposed to ask, and they know what the questions are,
right,
and stuff. But.
Yeah. And to me, and I think that's actually more common than, like, I think students just literally wing their way through school. And to me, it's like, that's no way to live, you know? It's like, it's just how can I notice that in a student and keep them from having to do that?
Yeah. And it seems like that student I mentioned earlier, he would just wing it his way. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to know how many problems he comes up to and just gives it his best shot and has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
But it's, it seems like a hefty percentage a lot of the time.
Yeah. Huh.
It's like, man, yeah, it's one of them deals where he's in eighth grade now and the previous teachers and principals and all have just scratched their heads and said, man, what can we do? What can we do? But yeah, there'll be days when he's like, what's a noun? Model now. You're in eighth grade, dude. You're in eighth grade.
You'll be in seventh this year.
But then there's other days he'd be on it. He'd just be like, bingo, you know.
Learning a new part.
Maybe he has it.
And the next week, you'd be like, oh. I'd be like, what's an adjective? Turn it back in his book, you know, what's an adjective? like you'd have to look and see, like, what the definition is. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea of trying to connect it with something else. Because I could probably ask him what the score of any baseball game the last year was. He'd probably be able to tell me.
Yeah,
exactly. So, like, the
portrait. Right. I don't know if it might come back to that whole thing that a couple of them were talking about earlier today about, you know, making work, turning work into play, basically. I feel like that's something I need to work on because there were days that I could definitely tell in class that they were just enduring class.
Yeah.
Like, they did not, that was the last thing they really wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can I engage?
That's such a good thing. Like, there's got to be a way to get it to where they can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Boy, if there's anything I hated back in school, it was poetry. I thought poetry was stupid. Poetry is awesome.
It is. It's so awesome.